The great feast of Corpus Christi began rather quietly Wednesday. The altar was all decorated, and the priests exposed the Blessed Sacrament and chanted the great prayer of the church, the Divine Office, Wednesday evening. Amongst all of those wonderful psalms and readings and prayers and hymns, there is one that stands out in particular, composed, like the office, by St. Thomas Aquinas. The words of this hymn have gone down in Catholic history and practice to form the words for one of the most beloved of all Catholic hymns. We call it the Panis Angelicus, and many of you have fond memories of a wedding day or a first Holy Communion at which this was sung, or perhaps even, if you will remember, President Kennedy's funeral. That marks us as being of a certain age, it is true, but they sang the Panis Angelicus at that Mass, too. I believe that our choir will be favoring us and honoring our Lord by singing a setting of the same beautiful hymn by the great composer Palestrina today. Pauper, the choir will sing, Pauper servus et humilis, a poor man, a servant, lowly, humble, manducat, eats. This refers to us. We do the eating, but you might also think of our Lord. The communion rail, in effect, you see, is our meeting place. It is not only the table where he feeds us with his flesh and blood, as he promised the Jews in John's gospel, but it is also, such as the divine design, the place where Jesus is fed. Yes. Now, we're all familiar with the concept of what you do to one of these, my least brethren, you do unto me, and at least are vaguely aware that at the end, our Lord tells us in Matthew's gospel, we will be judged on whether or not we have fed the hungry. Fed the hungry. And how at the end, our Lord anticipates the objection, Lord, when did I see thee hungry and feed thee or not? And that's when he says, whatsoever you do to one of these, my least brethren, you do to me. Indeed, one of the reasons, we are told, why there are in every age poor people and hungry and ignorant and little ones to be taught, the bread of life to be broken for them, is so that you and I might exercise Christian charity in their regard. That's the benefit of having these priests here, isn't it? We don't have a cook. And so when you participate in our little cucina clerical, or you even just drop off a meal, you do something that the average white suburban never gets a chance to do, aside from for your own family. And I'm sure, of course, you'll get the reward for that. That is to say, you feed the hungry. And you'll know that we'll have something to eat that night because you've brought us something to eat. If you make a donation to a food bank, if you give perhaps a dollar to someone who's looking for it for a cup of coffee or a hamburger, it would be the same thing. And you do it for Christ's sake. The same thing were you to stop and explain a why of our faith to someone who's wondering or who has said something ignorantly, not meaning to be bad. The same thing when you help to educate children and teach them catechism and take them through their religion lessons. All of these are ways of feeding the hungry child, Jesus. And on this, we will be judged. but needy little Jesus, like Oliver Twist in Dickens' novel, is still hungry. "Please, sir, may I have some more?" He waits for this hour every Sunday, and he hastens hastily to the Holy Communion. What are we to him? Did you ever go, we all have, I suppose, to a certain kind of a restaurant where a certain kind of waitress will call you and all and sundry hun or honey? What will it be, hun? Can I warm up your coffee, honey? I get my fair share of that traveling, too, and I always have to smile at the incongruity of it. I can't say that I mind it too much. It is an interesting change from the general Your Excellency or Father or something like that, or My Lord, Monseigneur. But Jesus, when we come here, he's the one who dons the apron, and he waits on us, and he hovers over us lovingly to feed us. We all know that. But he does the waitress one better. He doesn't call us hun or honey because he knows us by name already, but he does find us sweet to him, St. Augustine says, as honey is to our lips. God's honey, that's Augustine's phrase, for our souls at the Holy Communion. You see, Christ goes to communion with us, just as we do with him. After all, what else is communion? It cannot be a one-sided thing. Holy union with communion. It's not the coming together of a thing that is very holy. It is not a medal or a rosary or a holy card or a blessed palm or candle. These things are holy and they speak eloquently of him who is life itself, but they are not alive. And that which I bring you today and place upon your tongue is not a thing, nor a piece of bread. It is the living God, our holy Jesus, who is so hungry for us. Now, we all know it's so much better when there's something to be talked over and through and decided. It's so much better to do business over a meal, if you possibly can manage it. Business? Well, say, family meeting, or rather, the exercise of friendship. The spouse of my soul awaits a tryst with the love of my life. In communion, two persons meet, and each gives and each receives, and they are thus truly in communion. Now, that word or phrase is misused terribly by the Novus Ordo Church today, but this is the true use of the phrase, this deepest truth that I feed off him, which is why he comes and he feeds from me, and I am sweet. Think of it, honey sweet to his heart. Thus the choir sings, and David wrote in the 80th Psalm, which the church uses for our introit these days, he fed them with honey from the rock. Now the rock, that's you. Not so much for your stability, alas, or your firmness in your faith, but it's just probably your old stubbornness, isn't it? That's the rock part of you. But then he finds the honey in your heart, and from on this, he feeds, how much he desires it, how much he hungers for you, for you. And there is more. Qui manducat me ipse vivet propter me. He that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. St. Paul explains, as eating makes us grow, so to receive Christ makes us grow spiritually. Good news. No matter how old you are, you can still do a little growing. And some of us could even manage some growing up. But here too, this communion growth spurt is not one-sided. By dint of our communion, Christ grows, the little Jesus in the little white host has not yet received, St. Paul would say, the full measure of his maturity. He must grow in you, yes, but this refers to his mystical body throughout the whole world, which we progressively form and grow from communion to communion by means of our incorporation with him. Listen to that word, incorpore, in the body, in the blessed sacrament, in the communion with him. So his body can grow throughout the world until the end of time. We feed it. We give something, you see, at communion. See the wonders of this blessed sacrament. The soul is not only fed, he is. God is. He's here, and he's hungry. He's looking for God's honey, which only you can give him. He's got a sweet tooth for your soul. You are, it is true, God knows, pauper servus et humilis. You're poor, and you're just a servant, and you're lowly, you're humble. But pauper and servant and humble though you be, there is more to the Holy Communion. There is your soul, which is as sweet to our Savior as honey to our lips. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.